Warning, the following ZipRecruiter radio spot you are about to hear is going to be filled with F-words.
When you're hiring, we at ZipRecruiter know you can feel frustrated, forlorn even, like your efforts are futile, and you can spend a fortune trying to find fabulous people, only to get flooded with candidates who are just fine. Fortunately, ZipRecruiter figured out how to fix all that. And right now, you can try ZipRecruiter for free at ziprecruiter.com/zip. With ZipRecruiter, you can forget your frustrations because we find the right people for your roles fast, which is our absolute favorite F word. In fact, 4 out of 5 employers who post on ZipRecruiter get a quality candidate within the first day.
Fantastic.
So, whether you need to hire 4, 40, or 400 people, get ready to meet first-rate talent. Just go to ZipRecruiter.com/zip to try ZipRecruiter for free. Don't forget, that's ZipRecruiter.com/zip. Finally, that's ZipRecruiter.com/zip.
Hey, y'all, Darius Rucker here. You know, a lot of people ask me, what inspires your music? And one of the big things is a strong sense of place. That's why I love my home state of South Carolina and want to share the awesome things it has to offer. From the beautiful mountains down to the sunny coast, it's got it all. Not to mention 2 of my personal favorites, great golf and amazing food. Come see why I love this place. Visit discoversouthcarolina.com.
Everyone says that you need to buy. I feel like that's the rhetoric. You don't need to buy. You just need to make sure that you've given yourself the optionality that should you want to buy in the future, that you've set yourself up financially to not be priced out. That's what I'll say. Thank you so much for listening to our podcast. I just wanted to give a shout out for anyone who is interested in being a guest. It is completely anonymous, so we'll let you choose a fake name and we will hide identifiable information so you can come on the show and share freely. It is a full hour to an hour and a half with me, Barbara, and we'll do a deep dive on your finances, where you're doing well, where maybe you're struggling, and come up with a game plan for how to reach your financial goals. To be a guest, you just need to put a submission in either on Instagram or on our website, www.futurerichpodcast.com. And you just need to be a female. As we've said before, this podcast is produced with Amy, Alex, and myself, so an all-female team, and our goal is to help improve financial education amongst women. So that is why we interview women about their finances. So if you're listening to this and you're interested in being a guest, please put in a submission on our website, www.futurerichpodcast.com, or send us a message on Instagram.
Thank you so much for listening to the Future Rich podcast. This is part 2 of our episode with Samantha. Samantha is 36 years old. She lives and works in the San Francisco Bay Area. She is the co-founder of a youth dance business. In the previous episode, Samantha and Barbara talked about the challenges of starting a business, insights into managing business finances and personal savings, and a deep dive on the differences between simple IRAs and SEP IRAs. If you would like to listen to that podcast episode that aired last week on August 1st, you can go back and listen to episode 291 before you listen to this episode. Thank you so much.
Because there's a bunch of insurance you pay for the employees.
Right. Yeah, we have like our business insurance and our workers' comp, and we have a separate liability insurance policy. But I think there was one person that kind of set all that up. So I
yes, that's the person you call. Because the hard part is no one calls you. Like no one's like, you know, they say like, you know, you get the, you know, you're going to be contributing to retirement for all California employees, but no one's like, oh, well, here's what you do if you're the business owner. There's this other thing over here you need to set up, you know?
Right.
That's the tricky part. It's like you have to call and say, okay, so I set this up for the employees. Is there a business owner version anywhere that I need to also set up? And sometimes the answer is yes.
Yeah.
Perfect. Okay. So you have, I think that's smart that you set aside, and she has 30,000 as well on for her set aside.
I'm not sure what she has set aside, but I know she has some set aside.
Yeah. Okay, perfect. And then are there any other savings accounts? We have the traditional, the Roth, and then the 2 emergency funds.
Yes. So I also have a brokerage account, just like regular investments. And I set that up as my kind of retirement account before we figure out how to do our business retirement account. And that had $29,000 in it.
Amazing. And then what about debt?
Debt. My husband and I don't have any debt.
Amazing.
We're really good savers, or I've made him a really good saver. So our next step is like the retirement planning and the future planning.
And then how old is your husband and how much is he making a year?
So he is 52. So he'll be retiring before me. So that's our other sort of thing we have to figure out, is because I'm on his health insurance.
What's his target? And what did you say he's making a year?
Let's see. He makes $119,000 a year.
Okay, fantastic. And he has no debt?
He has no debt, no.
And then do you share what with each other what you have saved? I know you said you keep the finances separate.
He has a separate savings account also.
Okay.
He has about like $80,000 in there.
Okay. And because he has a union job, he'll retire with a pension?
Yes. Yeah.
And then what is he thinking for age for retirement?
We're thinking like 68 or 70.
Okay.
I think it might have to be 70 because he got into his line of work a little bit later.
Mm-hmm.
He only started there like 8 or 9 years ago.
Okay. So then 52. And so you have about 16 year age difference, right?
Yes.
Yeah. So 70, I think 70 would make sense.
Okay.
Because you'd be about 54 then. If you're still running the business and you enjoy it, you could continue to do that, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
But yes, and then 70 would also be, as of right now, things are subject to change, but that would also be his max Social Security.
Okay.
And that would make sense because he has the higher on the books income. So therefore, his Social Security most likely will be higher, right? Mm-hmm. So in a married couple, I always like to try to stagger it so that one benefit is higher because that stays with the household. So should he predecease you, you would get his higher benefit.
Okay.
So 70 is the max benefit. And he's also has the higher income on the books. So therefore his benefit will be better.
Got it.
It could always swap, right? Because you're 36. So the business continues to grow. You have more on the books. That could always change. But, you know, using today's numbers.
Right.
Okay. So then how do you do your household expenses? We talked about the business, but your household expenses, you said you split them?
Yes, we split them.
Okay. And so do you want to give me what your share of expenses are?
Yeah. So my share of expenses is about like $2,500 a month. And that's splitting the rent, the utilities, our entertainment going out, and anything we need for the house.
That feels low for the Bay Area.
It's very low.
Okay. I was expecting you to say $2,500 for rent, for your share of rent.
I've been in my apartment for almost 16 years.
Okay.
So it's a little bit of a golden handcuff situation.
Okay.
But we are saving for a down payment, so on top of the expenses, we've been putting away like a fake mortgage each month. And so each of us put away $2,000 a month. So we're saving $4,000 towards a future mortgage payment.
Okay, perfect. And where is that money? Is that in any of the numbers you've already given me?
No, that is a joint savings account we have. And right now it has $118,000 in it.
Oh, amazing. I was so worried you were going to be like, yeah, that's part of the 30. And I was gonna be like, oh no. Okay. So you have a joint account with 118. That's fantastic. But do you want to buy in the Bay Area?
We do. Okay. We've started to look at options, and you know, that's the next thing, is like figuring out the budget for the actual purchasing, because saving, right, it's still yours, you can still see it, you still feel like it's there, but the actual spending of the money, I just want to make sure we're fully prepared for that part of it.
Have you listened to my podcast before? Have you listened to some of the episodes about the house stuff?
Yes. Yeah. And I hear other areas and I'm like, oh, wow, that sounds.
So the tricky part is you have, it sounds like you have like a dream of a situation here if your expenses for the month are $2,500.
Yeah. So if we purchase, our expenses will definitely double.
Yeah. So there, I would just like to say there's nothing wrong with renting, especially when you're saving that amount of money.
Okay.
Right. And so everyone says that you need to buy. I feel like that's the rhetoric. You don't need to buy. You just need to make sure that you've given yourself the optionality that should you want to buy in the future, that you've set yourself up financially to not be priced out. That's what I'll say.
Okay. But
if you're, the issue with people with renting where they get priced out is they're living on everything they're bringing in and then rent gets high and their income doesn't adjust enough. And then they're getting priced out of renting and they've never saved enough to buy, right? That's the scenario where it gets really tricky. But right, if you're saving $4,000 a month because of this and you're, you know, you end up setting aside, you know, we'll just say $300,000 and you, and we'll say you invest that and decide, you know, we're comfortable with that. That gives you the opportunity to buy in the future, should you choose to, right? That's the house fund. You could also decide, you know, our life is really comfortable. We like having flexibility with our income and not having the maintenance and expense of a property.
Mm-hmm. That's what, yeah, that's what we've started to see now. And it's making the dream a little bit not as shiny, right? Like, oh, there's the insurance cost and the house upkeep and looking at a house like that you want to purchase, but then there's immediate repairs listed in the disclosures that mm-hmm. have to be dealt with.
And that's your weekends.
Like, yeah.
That's nights and weekends. Like, I have a can of paint here and I had, you know, went to the paint shop on 1 gallon. I got it on sale. It was $75. One gallon. And it should have been 100 something. Paint's expensive. Wow. So, you know, people say, yeah, but you, when you sell your house, you make a lot of money. You do. But when you think about if you actually paid yourself for, you know, driving to the paint store on Saturday, because that's not exactly what I wanted to do with my Saturday. Uh-huh. Maybe if you enjoy painting, but I hired someone to paint, but I had to go figure out because the color I wanted wasn't there. So he sent me over there. If you think about all the time and money that goes into it, yeah, some people do great, but it's just like the stock market, not guaranteed.
Yeah.
You know, there's people that have taken a bath on their house. Not, I mean, it hasn't happened in a while, but doesn't mean it can't happen again. So I just wouldn't get caught up in society's pressure of buying a house. Uh-huh. There's also a lot to be said for not being house poor and financially estranged monthly and like calling somebody when something breaks in the apartment and it's their problem.
That's true.
So it's completely up to you. I think what you're doing is the right thing though. You also do want to save so that you give yourself the option that if you want to buy, you can buy. And you say, maybe we do want to own a piece of real estate, but you know, the Bay Area is too expensive and it's going to make our monthly overhead too uncomfortable, right? You might say it's not worth it here, but maybe we buy a smaller weekend place somewhere, you know, we could drive up to and it's not going to cost as much and we could keep our rent. Cause that's the other thing with high cost of living areas. Is maybe primary, you know, not to say you don't say it's your primary, but, you know, buying in the city maybe isn't your best option. Maybe buying 2 hours north, like a little bungalow for the weekends is the better option and stake it, you know, sticking with this unicorn of a rent situation makes uh-huh. more sense.
Yeah. So with like this money we're saving right now, it's just in a high yield savings account.
Mm-hmm.
If we're not planning to use it within the next year or so, do you recommend moving it somewhere?
I would say at least, so I think in the stock market, you have to be prepared to leave it in there for 2 to 4 years.
Okay.
So if you're still not sure about the house thing, I definitely would leave it in a high yield savings. If you're flexible and if the market goes down, you're just like, well, we'll just wait. The house thing is an idea, but we're not completely sold on it. And we're flexible, then you could, but you can't, we can't control, you know, you can't control the stock market. You don't know if you put it in, what's going to happen.
Right.
As long as the, you know, the thing that mitigates the risk of the stock market is time, right? So if you have a good time horizon to have it in there, then that mitigates the risk. But so if you said we're definitely buying a house in 2 years, I'd be like, nope, it should be in a high yield savings account. But if you say we're thinking about it, but we also may decide to rent, and if the market went down, we would just continue to rent because we're, you know, locked in on this great deal, then you could consider it. Or you could split the difference, say we'll put half to work in the market and then the other half, and we're only going to buy, you know, we won't move money out unless the market's up.
That makes sense. That's a good idea.
I always like to compromise. It's like from like a psychology standpoint, it's so much easier. It's like, okay, well, then we have half the money saved. The other half is invested, could make some money. You play your average. And then you also come in with a mindset of, you know, if the market's down, we'll just wait to buy a house.
Yeah. Yeah. Now, the stock market is still a little scary to me. I mean, I have these like accounts and right now they're just self-managed. But I feel like I would like someone to look at them and recommend. Do you think that's like a check-in with someone every couple of months? Or is it good to have an investment manager? Or are the robo-advisors okay?
So I'm going to sell against the robo-advisors because I find a lot of mistakes with the robo-advisors.
Oh, okay.
Well, it's a robot. You know, so you're eligible to do a Roth, but I see people who are doing Roths who aren't eligible, stuff like that. So I don't like robo. I think you probably do a better job than a robot because it's your money. You care, right? You're paying attention. But what I would say is there's nothing wrong with hiring somebody. And I don't think it needs to be quarterly at all. I think it could be like once a year you could hire somebody to review. And there are advisors who work on an hourly basis or a flat fee where they don't manage your money, but they'll look everything over and you pay them a fee. I think that sounds like it might be up your alley and you just do it once a year and they go over everything for you. I think that having advice is valuable. Obviously, I'm in the business, I'm a CFP, so I do think the advice is valuable. The robos I don't love. I just haven't, from what I've like, when I've looked the stuff over, I think you probably would do a better job.
Okay.
But I think it's worth, you know, with your husband and you have an age gap and you mentioned maybe family planning and he's going to maybe retire. He's not terribly far off from retirement. I mean, the more you have an idea of what you're working towards, the better, right? The more time, the easier it is to plan. So I think it'd be worth hiring someone. And I would say you want to look for somebody who has the planning designation, right? Who's like, I would look for a CFP, a certified financial planner, somebody okay. who's a fiduciary. And then it sounds like you're doing a good job on your own. So if you don't want them to manage the money, what I would do is look for someone you can just hire who would do it for like a fee.
Got it.
Pay them like an hourly fee yeah. to look everything over.
Okay. That flat fee is important to look out for, right? Because some of them do like a percentage.
Yeah.
Okay.
And that's fine. That's what I do. That's how I run my business. But I work predominantly with retirees where things are going to be a bit more complex and they don't want to manage their own money. You've mm-hmm. seemed like you've done a good job. I mean, you have no debt, you have good savings. I mean, feels like you have everything pretty organized. So I would say I would make sure you have a good accountant for the business who could also do your personal return. And then I would look to hire a CFP professional for, you know, on a consultative basis to review stuff.
Okay.
Yeah, and there's nothing wrong with paying a fee if you're getting it. That's what I'll say. If you don't need the fee, right? If you're doing it fine on your own, well, then that's great. You don't need to pay the fee. It's just like I hire professionals for certain things. I could probably do some stuff myself, and I've chosen to outsource that. So just decide if you want to outsource it or not. But if you're saying I don't really know that I need to outsource the whole thing, need someone to run it for me, I just want to get a second opinion. That's available too, and that sounds like probably more up your alley.
Yeah. And then, so my husband has a bit of savings now. I've had him start saving and
Did he save before you? He keeps saying I got him to save.
He saved a little bit, but he also wasn't in the job position he is in now.
Okay.
So he's able to save because his income increased more, but our did not increase.
That's always the key is the low expenses.
He would just kind of leave it in his checking account and then, you know, the money ends up making its way into some expense that you don't really need. Mm-hmm. So I was like, why don't you just automatically move some over and that way you don't see it. It just goes away but it's in a separate savings account. And so he started doing that, and that helped. And he has it.
At KFC, everyday value meets big flavor. That means getting 6 crispy pieces of delicious dark meat drums and thighs, plus 4 biscuits, all for just $10 with our Dine and Dash deal. All that juicy, original recipe chicken for only $10 every day. Now that's finger-lickin' good. Hurry into KFC and taste the deal we're cooking up. Limited time only. Prices and participation may vary. While supplies last, tax, tip, and fees extra. Not available on third-party ordering platforms.
Tia, also for retirement. And right now he's putting, like, I think $1,200 a month in there. Do you recommend he do more because of where he's at? Like,
yeah, so he's saving $1,200 a month pre-tax out of his
paycheck.
So that's $14,400. So he should probably be closer to, because he has $80,000 saved, right? Does he have anything else in retirement?
No, he doesn't have another retirement account.
Okay. And then what, do you know what his pension is going to be?
We looked that up yesterday.
Oh, you did? Fantastic. Yeah.
So right now it's at $3,800 monthly.
A month? Is that single?
Oh.
Yeah. So here's usually how the pensions go. The highest best benefit is only on him.
Okay.
So if he covers you as his spouse, the benefit amount will go down, but then it covers, he would get money for his life. And if, should he predecease you, you would get paid a percentage, depending on either the 100%, 50%, 75%, you would get paid for your life. So it covers both lives. That's what you want to look at.
Okay.
The popular ones are called either Restore or Pop-Ups. And what that means is if your husband takes a pension amount for $3,000 in order to cover you for your lifetime, if God forbid you get hit by a bus, he would go back up to close to $3,800 because now his beneficiary is no longer there. So then it would either pop back up to single life or restore to single life. So those are the ones I would look at, like what's available for either restore or pop up. Everybody uses a different name for it, but do you understand the concept? If he covers you and then you pass away, he would go back as if he chose single.
Uh-huh. Okay. So that's just something we have to check.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, they should be able to give you based on a projected retirement date, or even you could say the retirement date is now. But if you got like more of a projected retirement date and say he's been there 8 years and he's going to work, you know, 16 more years. So he's, you know, over the 20-year marker and at retirement, what would the projected benefit amount be, right? If he's 68 and collecting then, and then you'll see the best benefit will be single life. But if he collects it for 3 years, and then he gets hit by a bus, it's over. That's it. The end of the pension.
Mm-hmm.
So it's a risky move, in my opinion.
Yeah.
And then you wouldn't get anything.
Okay. So that, would that be something we have to go in and change, or is that like,
once you retire, so it's a one-time election, you cannot alter it. So once he files the pension paperwork, when he goes to retire, that's when you would elect this. And then once it's done, that's it. There's no changing it. It's a permanent election. I had a friend of mine call. She went home to take care of her daddy, passed away, and he wasn't in a good financial situation, but he had a pension. And so she moved home to live with him to take care of him when he passed. And she called me and she was like, they pulled back his pension check. You know, she notified, you know, I don't even think she notified him that he died. I think they were notified that he passed away. Uh-huh. And she was like, they took the pension check out of the checking account. And I was like, yeah, he's deceased. And she's like, well, but I should get the pension. And I was like, I don't think so. I was like, it depends on what he elected. So she like called the company. I was like, there's nothing you can do. Whatever he filed when he retired is permanent. Can't change it.
Wow.
So from a planning standpoint, though, it's important to know what he would be eligible for. And you could ask for not 68, but like if he were to retire at 62, which is 10 years from now, what would he get? So then you can plan and you can kind of see what those projections are. But the pension until it's elected. That's when you would file the paperwork and choose like how he wants to receive it. Like, I'm going to cover my spouse 100%, pop up, restore, whatever it is. But yeah, it's a permanent election. Cannot be changed.
Okay.
But it's a very important piece with retirement planning.
Yeah. I'll have him check in with some of his coworkers or people who have just retired. I know they all
check in with the benefits people, not the colleagues. You get a lot of misinformation from colleagues. Check in with the, yeah. There's a lot of misinformation like circulating on the, like I'll call it the water cooler. He should go to the benefits people, the people who run the benefits.
Okay. Got it.
But that'll be good. So he'll have a pension. So given that he has a pension, that's fantastic, right? So we'll just use the number of 38,000 a month times 12. So that's 45,000 a year. That's like having $1 million bond paying 4.5%. If you think about it from that way. So that's fantastic. So he's doing fine because he's also saving. So he'll have, he's, you know, union worker is in on W-2. So he's going to have Social Security. So he could maybe have another 2 to 3,000 a month just with that, right? So that his Social Security gets up to 3,000 at 70. That's, you know, 68, give or take 100 gross right there. But he's going to have to work later to get to the 70 number for Social Security or not collect till 70. And then he's saving. If he can afford it, if your expenses are low now, you mentioned family planning, then maybe bump it up a little bit for the time being, you know, because life could get more expensive and it could be harder to save more, you know?
Uh-huh.
So I don't think I'll ever discourage saving more for retirement. No one's ever walked into my office and been like, shoot, I think I have too much saved. It hasn't happened.
Okay. And do you recommend I try to get him onto like a Roth IRA also?
Roths are really nice in retirement. I think the biggest complaint I get from people who are retired who did a good job, it's not that they wish they had less money. They wish they were paying less in tax. Get a lot of complaint about taxes.
Okay.
Like I would say like weekly.
Wow.
I get multiple complaints about taxes. So you're in this sweet spot because of this unicorn rent situation you have. That you have the flexibility to say, you know what, maybe we'll do Roth because we don't really need the tax break because we're living pretty comfortably.
Right.
I think it gives you freedom to do like everything in your life. Like you can just pay for a vacation. You don't have to put on a credit card.
Yeah. That's the thing with running the business right now is like, I've been saving a lot, but we're trying to find time to go enjoy a little bit of it. So that'll be next year's plan.
Plan to be able to take it. That's like the hardest part in a running a business is taking a vacation.
Yeah.
I think it took me like 7 years. So you'll be.
Okay. I'm almost there.
Yeah. You're almost there. I think it took me 7 years where I took like a longer vacation, you know, not like a Friday and a Monday.
Mm-hmm.
And then I think 2023, I think was the first time I didn't take my laptop. I actually don't remember if I took it or not. So that would have been 10 years where I think I got my first vacation without a laptop.
Wow. Yeah.
Not the worst thing to carry it, but you know, every once in a while you're like, I wonder what it'd be like to like not take my laptop with me.
Yeah. It has this whole other thing with it. Like we go camping for 2 nights and we go deep, deep into the forest. And so I tell my business partner, I'm like, I'm going to have no service for 2 days. So just so you know, and that feels like such a big,
A luxury.
Yeah.
Cause it is, it's nice to like completely disconnect, I think. But when you have, you know, there's a pros and cons to everything in life. And so, I mean, I enjoy owning a business, but that is definitely, I think the thing, you're like, oh, you could take whatever vacation you want. You go away a lot. I was like, yeah, I go away with my laptop. You could, I'm still working. I just happen to be working at a different location. So that's good. So talk to me a little bit about the family planning.
So it's just at the very beginning of family planning. It's kind of like a, if it happens, that's great.
Okay.
Situation. And besides, you know, just saving a little bit of money, I don't quite know what else to plan for. I think our health insurance is pretty good.
Okay.
I don't know if you recommend like checking in on those benefits.
Yeah, you could check in on the benefits. You could see, you know, what they cover for fertility, what they cover for pregnancies usually cover it. It's usually giving birth that can be expensive depending on the insurance coverage. That's where people get kind of hit. And then if you need it like fertility assistance, that's not always covered. I would say it's more often covered with like a tech company. So I don't know about with a union job if they would have fertility coverage. Mm-hmm. I think your best situation is putting yourself in a good financial situation, which you're in, right?
Yeah.
Having a solid emergency fund, not having debt, having done a really good job and planning for retirement, because then if you have a child, it just adjusts your budget and it can adjust it significantly, especially with daycare costs, right? Or childcare costs. That's the big number that would eat into that extra. And so I would definitely keep that in mind when you're considering purchasing, because I will say the one thing I think that when you're going to qualify for a mortgage, they don't ask you is, do you plan on having children and have you factored in childcare costs? Because it's another mortgage.
That's right.
That's where it gets really dicey, because if, especially if you have more than one child, you could be like $3,000 a month.
Yeah.
Okay. And you could swing that now. You'd actually have no issue with it now. But if you had a mortgage, then that's where it would get really tight.
Yeah. Okay. So we'll have to look at our numbers again and factor in.
Yeah. Daycare and childcare costs is the factor that I think really throws people for a loop, and where I think it gets really stressful is you go into that and you have credit card debt, or you're like kind of just breaking even. And so like anything extra, like a birthday party or something comes up random, it goes on a credit card because you like don't know where the money's going every month. Because, you know, sometimes people come on the podcast and I'm like, okay, so it doesn't seem like you have anything extra. Like every month it's like everything is spent, nothing is getting saved. We have a bit of credit card debt. And then if you have a child on top of that, it just, it can snowball, right? Because you just have more expenses, the same income, right? Which we didn't really know what was happening. And now we throw more expenses on it and get really uncomfortable.
Yeah.
But you're in a good position. That's why with your husband, I would save a little extra now, save a little more, because if you do decide to have a family, then you can always tone that down a little during the expensive, you know, where you need more childcare coverage.
Okay. Great. Yeah, that might be a whole other conversation of how to budget for a future child.
I think the biggest expense is going to be that what would be needed for hospital. Like that could be somewhere between $3,000 and $6,000 for the hospital part of it. And then childcare cost, we've heard ranges on the show. I think like affordable is like $1,500 a month, but then we've also heard like $2,000 a month for childcare. And then if you have another one, you get, some places give a discount, some don't really give a discount because like newborn is more expensive than 2-year-old, right? So,
right. The Bay Area is probably on that higher end, the 2000 end, I believe.
Yeah.
So,
and it's temporary. So that's why if you put yourself in a good financial position and you say, okay, we can swing a baby where we are. So we're going to do that, you know, and then maybe we're going to save extra before we have the first child, and we maybe want a second child, and we know it's going to be like really uncomfortable for 2 years when they're both in childcare or something.
Mm-hmm.
And you plan for it.
Okay. Yeah. Until they're in school.
Yeah. And then you might need aftercare, but maybe you could only teach dance in the morning and then you could cover afternoons. I don't know. You could maybe figure that out, but I think the most expensive is when they have to go to the childcare when they're little before school.
Right. And those seem to not be the most flexible. Like if you sign up for childcare, they want you to sign up.
You have locked in a spot. That's it. Whether you go or not. And then they cancel a lot. Like my assistant here, I think they closed for like the solar eclipse. I was like, what?
What?
Yeah. Wow. I swear. Yeah. It was like an early closure for that. Then one day it rained a lot. They were closed. No, I was like, there's like a lot. They take their own spring breaks. I'm always just like, I want to be on this schedule. I want that schedule. I want the daycare schedule. You're not on that schedule. I do not work that schedule. So yeah, but you're locked in. So, and then if your child's sick, they obviously don't go. You still pay. No refund there.
Right.
Yeah. And there's different ones. Like my sister is a government employee. And so she picked a daycare, which is probably more expensive, but it goes on the government schedule. So, you know, no solar eclipse days, because she's an attorney. She has to be, can't be like, so I guess judge, I can't be at court today. There's a solar eclipse. You know, so she had to pick a daycare that aligned with her work. So yeah, there's a lot to think about. But what I would say from a planning standpoint is I think putting yourself in a good financial position and being aware of what the costs will be give you a real leg up, because I think a lot of people go into it and don't know what it's going to be or haven't put themselves or in a financial position. Like maybe they start out negative and then have a child. And that just feels stressful to me.
Yeah. Yeah. And I don't like stress. I mean, nobody likes stress, but yeah. I really handle it very well.
So yeah, but you've already put yourself in a great position. You have no debt. You're building a business. Your revenue is growing, which is fantastic. And you're building that. You have a great amount saved. Your husband has money saved and no debt. He's also going to have a pension, which my perfect retirement plan is a pension, at least one pension, and then two social securities with your own savings. That's a very comfortable situation.
Thank you so much.
Yeah.
This is wonderful.
Do you have any other questions?
Not at the moment. I know I always end up coming up with something like 2 days later, but I think you answered all my questions right now. My sister got me hooked on your podcast. And so I've been listening for a few months and I love hearing all the different situations and then like being like, oh, I've never heard of that before and looking into it. So thank you so much for doing this and for talking to me today.
Oh yeah, absolutely. Thank you for being a listener. And thank you to all of our loyal listeners. And if you like the show, share, you never know. And yeah, we do this. Amy, Alex, and I do this on the side. This is to help women improve their finances, because it's so important, I think, to have control over your finances, because it gives you control over the rest of your life. So for all of our lovely listeners, if you want to get in touch with us, I think we might be done with guest slots for the year, but we'll be recording guests for next year, for 2026. You can follow along on Instagram, or you can send us a message on www.futurerichpodcast.com. Time for our disclaimer. The opinions voiced in this podcast are for general information only and not intended to provide specific advice or recommendations for any individual. All performance references are historical and do not guarantee future results. Make sure that you consult with your own legal, tax, and/or financial advisor before making any decisions.
Warning, the following ZipRecruiter radio spot you are about to hear is going to be filled with F-words.
When you're hiring, we at ZipRecruiter know you can feel frustrated, forlorn even, like your efforts are futile, and you can spend a fortune trying to find fabulous people, only to get flooded with candidates who are just fine. Fortunately, ZipRecruiter figured out how to fix all that. And right now, you can try ZipRecruiter for free at ZipRecruiter.com/zip. With ZipRecruiter, you can forget your frustrations because we find the right people for your roles fast.
which is our absolute favorite F word. In fact, 4 out of 5 employers who post on ZipRecruiter get a quality candidate within the first day.
Fantastic.
So, whether you need to hire 4, 40, or 400 people, get ready to meet first-rate talent. Just go to ZipRecruiter.com/zip to try ZipRecruiter for free. Don't forget, that's ZipRecruiter.com/zip. Finally, that's ZipRecruiter.com/zip.